program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Jesus Christ's ministry was filled with drama. For 3.5 years, his ministry was full of a variety of events. Opportunities to forgive and opportunities to heal. His approach to forgive the wicked caught in sin caused enormous drama in his life. Ultimately, it resulted in his trial, his beating, and crucifixion. But then, undeniably, the resurrection from the dead. Many have asked, why all this controversy? Stay with us as we explore the drama surrounding the ministry of Jesus the Christ.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. This is an exciting time to be here with you. And the subject I want to deal with today, I will give you the title in a moment, but I want to set it up for you. Drama is a part of life. I remember back, in the early 70s when I contracted, I think it was called the Hong Kong flu in those days, and was knocked out for about a week. And I stayed home, and in those days with no cable television and very few choices, I wound up getting addicted to daytime drama. Those television soap operas and all of that. Quite interesting to begin to analyze what they do in those things. In fact, later on, when I was working on a master's degree, I wrote a paper on soap operas and daytime dramas, got an A+ on the paper. And why was that so? Well, because it really is the most honest thing on television, at least as it comes to presentations, for instance. It's hard to sum up an entire life in an hour or a half hour. But in daytime dramas, they just go on and on and on, even with the same people, you realize. But when it comes to drama, there is no drama greater than the life lived by Jesus Christ. And that's the drama I want to accentuate today. In fact, I want to title today's program, The Drama in Christ's Ministry. And I want to go to a passage of Scripture before I come back and tell you about the things we're offering. We find this passage of Scripture in Luke, the 4th chapter. This is the passage dealing with Jesus' visit to his hometown, the place where he grew up. Now, that's a lot of drama all by itself. Have you ever gone back to where you were born and having gone away maybe and made a success of yourself or been successful in business, married, raised a family and that kind of thing? There is always a lot of drama associated with it, but in particular in the life of Jesus Christ. And here's some scriptures from Luke 4 I wish to share with you today. I'll begin in verse 22, and it says, "And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, and a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, or Elias, or in this case, Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed saving Naaman the Syrian. And they all in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Oh, the drama's about to start. And he goes on to say, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill wherein their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Friends, this is drama. And I want to share with you the drama in Christ's ministry so that it can relate to your life, to show you that Jesus Christ can relate to the drama that exists in your life. But first, I want to tell you about what we're offering in today's program. It's a powerful presentation by Bill Watson, one of our co-presenters here on the Armor of God telecast. And it is entitled, it's a double CD, parts 1 and 2, entitled, Who is Jesus Christ? Now, that's quite a question to ponder because there are lots of opinions about who Jesus was. Even in his hometown, there were opinions that varied back and forth about who he was. And I want to suggest to you that if you are wondering about Jesus Christ, you don't have a relationship with him, you're not part of any church, you've not made a decision regarding Jesus Christ, I'd like for you to have that free material. It comes to you absolutely free. When you dial toll-free 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. Remember, anything that we offer on the Armor of God telecast is absolutely free of charge. There will be no follow-up to ask you for money later. So thank you very much for that response. And the operators are standing by. Be sure to let them know if you are a first-time caller. The drama in Christ's ministry. I've just read a portion of the drama of him going to his hometown, visiting the synagogue in which he grew up, and he was known there. Now, prior to the passage I just read to you, there is a famous moment when he goes into the synagogue, he goes to church. And you know, every time Jesus went to church or to the synagogue, a fight broke out, some disagreement occurred, the great drama escalated in his life because there were people who, well, they looked at him with chagrin. They looked at him with a jaundiced eye. They were suspicious of him, and they suggested, furthermore, that he didn't know what he was talking about. Some were impacted by the graciousness of his words, but they wondered, who is this man, and why is he saying such things? You see, Jesus Christ, when he would go into a synagogue, he would go with this in mind, to straighten out the thinking of the people who were engaged in, if I may use this term, church. People who were involved in religiosity, those who frequented the church every week, in this case, the Sabbath, he went into the synagogues. And prior to the passage I just read to you in the opening of this program, Jesus Christ went into the synagogue and quoted a text out of Isaiah proclaiming that the Spirit of God was upon him, for the Spirit of God has anointed him to preach the gospel unto 5 categories of people. And let's check out these categories for a moment. The poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's taken out of Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Here's a man growing up in the town of Nazareth, known by all the people, standing up and authenticating his authority by saying, the Spirit of God is upon me, for it has anointed me to do these things that you have heard about and that I say to you now. That begins the drama. So when we get down to the passage which I read to you, it's the result of him proclaiming this dogma in their hearing and saying that this day is this scripture, the one from Isaiah 61 and verse 1, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness to him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Then they suggested, oh, isn't this not Joseph's son? Now, you must understand that the Jews had a little tongue-in-cheek action going there. because later on we find them suggesting to Jesus Christ that we, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, be not born of fornication. Oh, the word had been out about Jesus. The drama had already started when Mary, a teenage girl, was found to be pregnant. And everybody knows, biologically speaking, that can't happen without the presence of a male, unless God is involved. And interestingly enough, the drama even cycles back to Joseph prior to the marriage to young Mary. Joseph was a man of steady age. He was not an old guy, but he was certainly a mature fellow. And when he found out that she was pregnant, he wanted to put her away silently, quietly, as to not cause him any consternation. But a vision came to him, and an angelic presence came to him and told him that the child that she is bearing is not of human beings, but by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit itself. That's drama, friends. That is dramatic to the nth degree when you think about how he came to be. I've heard many people say, well, of course, no, I mean, who could believe that? The virgin birth of Pshaw, or some word to that effect. But the fact is, the drama of Jesus Christ's ministry prophesied in the Old Testament, in the books of Isaiah and other places, to suggest that Jesus Christ was to be born of a virgin and eventually to suffer under Pontius Pilate and to be dead, buried, and resurrected again. The drama is just starting here in this passage in his hometown. But let's take a closer look at the drama, because I am guessing that those of you who are viewing this program today have a life filled with drama. You don't know where your income is going to come because your jobs are being downsized or outsourced and all of those kinds of things. You perhaps are in trouble with your house being lost in the financial downturn of the nation. Perhaps you have children out of control, or your marriage is on the verge of breaking up. That's drama. Every day you deal with drama in your life. And I want to suggest to you that Jesus Christ understood drama because it was present in his life and in his ministry. And it's an example to you and me of overcoming the drama and to find out that you have a partner in life, namely Jesus Christ. Let me just say this before I continue in this passage. You can be a Buddhist and never meet Buddha. You can be a Muslim and never meet Muhammad, or be a Confucianist and never have met Confucius. But you can't be a Christian without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ is not dead as those other individuals still are, but is still presently alive and sitting at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. And so here is Jesus in his ministry and the drama attendant to it. It goes on to say this. After being rejected by those in his hometown, he leaves Nazareth and goes to Capernaum, where he sets up a ministry there. And sure enough, drama continues because he goes to church again, or goes to the synagogue. He came down to Capernaum in verse 31, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. You know, that's an interesting note. When individuals address us, especially those in public sight or in the political realm, or perhaps they are philosophers or writers or dramatists of some kind, and they speak with drama or power associated with them. And it's attention-grabbing. It attracts us to them when they do that, and nothing less was attendant to Jesus Christ in this moment. It says, here's the drama beginning to kick up again, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean demon or devil, and cried out with a loud voice, drama's starting, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, you Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know you who you are, the Holy One of God. Well, now, down in Capernaum, the demons recognized Jesus Christ as being the Holy One of God. But back in his hometown where he grew up and they allegedly knew him, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him because he spoke with power. It continues in this passage to say this, "And Jesus rebuked him, the demon, saying, 'Hold your peace and come out of him.' And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" This is quite a dramatic moment in church. It goes on to conclude, "And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about." Drama. Absolute drama. And what you need in drama, I learned this when I was studying Shakespeare and those kinds of things, to have drama you must have a protagonist and an antagonist in order to have the friction present. If you recall the dramas that Shakespeare wrote, the tragedies in particular, there were always these protagonists and antagonists. In the case of Macbeth, Macbeth, of course, was guilty of killing his brother to take over the throne. And in Hamlet, the stepfather of Hamlet had killed his father, Hamlet's father, in order to take over the throne. So you had all of this drama going on in those great plays by William Shakespeare. In the life of Jesus Christ, in his hometown, in his village, there was great drama to be examined. I want to go back to the passage that I read concerning two people. Remember those two persons? There was the widow who was there in Sarepta, and then there was Naaman the Syrian. Neither one was Jewish or of the house of Israel. And what Jesus is saying at this moment is that, look, you may reject me. You may ignore my mission and my ministry and my majesty, but I want to suggest to you, my friends, this is Jesus speaking, he's saying, I want to suggest to you that I will have a relationship beyond Israel. And he goes back to the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible and pulls out examples of the prophet Elijah working with a woman of a place called Sidon or Sarepta, and he talks about Naaman the Syrian who had leprosy, who Elisha, the prophet who succeeded Elijah in his responsibilities as a prophet of God, brought healing to this Naaman, who was a high official in the Syrian government. My suggestion to you is that if you are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, you can have it, because he came for that purpose. And he's indicating to his people in his hometown who thought they had the corner of the market. They thought that because we were Jews and descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God is only dealing with us. But he shows right here by this example, by this expression, that God is available to us all beyond the limitations of our heritage, our ethnicity, or our origin of birth. All of that is irrelevant when it comes to a relationship with God. And if you are experiencing drama in your life, like Jesus experienced, rejection, those who wanted to actually put him to death, those who eventually at various times wanted to stone him in response to his ministry, the fact is, my brothers and sisters, my friends watching this program, that Jesus Christ is available to you despite the drama of your life. In fact, drama comes into your life to get your attention and turn you in the direction towards your Savior Jesus Christ and ask you to call out to him, and so he can respond to you. Now, there's a little aspect of drama in Jesus Christ's life that I want to point out. Here he is in Nazareth, the place where he grew up. Now, we don't know what happens to Joseph after Jesus reaches the age of 30. Or even prior to that time. We know that Mary, his mother, was still very much alive, but there is an addition to the family situation, if you will. Jesus had four brothers and at least three sisters. Despite what you learned in catechism, despite the view that some have that Mary, with her immaculate conception, never had any more children, the Bible says clearly that he had four brothers and names them. And the three sisters, and I say three sisters simply because if it was only one sister, they would have said, well, his sister is outside. Or if only two sisters, they would have said both of his sisters are outside, but they said all of his sisters, which implies at least three. And you find that passage also in the New Testament. I'm going to see, I didn't write this down in my notes here, but I'm going to turn to Matthew, and I believe my eye will fall on that passage dealing with Jesus Christ and the people who came to see him, his parents, or his mother, I should say, and the brothers and sisters came to check him out. And have you ever wondered about this, about the drama in Jesus' life, that none of his brothers and sisters ever came to hear him preach, never saw his miracles? There's nothing recorded in the gospel accounts to that effect. And would you wonder why that would be so? That's drama. Here's someone we grew up with, we sat at the same table with, and we played with, maybe slept in the same bed with, or shared a bed with in our youth. And here he is proclaiming himself to be the anointed of God, the Son of God. And that actually happens when he was 12. Remember that occasion when they went up to Jerusalem for the Passover? And they travel a day's journey, the parents do, and they look around for Jesus. He's nowhere to be found. Where is he? He's back in Jerusalem at the temple with the doctors and lawyers discussing the deep, powerful, intimate things of the scriptures. And they are puzzled, the parents are. Well, where were you? We thought you were with some relatives and so forth, but you disappeared from us. His response at the age of 12 was, "It's time for me to be about my Father's business." That's drama. Because at the age of 12, he knew that he was divinely appointed. He knew at the age of 12 that there was a task for him to complete, a job for him to do, and there was yet more drama to come. So when his siblings avoided him in his ministry, the miracles, the message, the majesty of his ministry, why did they do such a thing? Well, friends, they did it because they didn't want to be thrown out of the synagogue. You see how Jesus was rejected in the synagogue of the place where he grew up? And what was their intent? They wanted to kill him. They were filled with wrath. So naturally, his brothers and sisters wanted to avoid the drama. But friends, if you are engaged with Jesus Christ, if you are involved with Jesus Christ, if you commit to his ministry, you're going to have drama in your life. All of my colleagues in the ministry here, as we make our presentations to you, we can each tell you of stories in our own lives of drama related to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Mr. Bill Watson and his wife, who produced this marvelous program, deal with issues of which station can we get on? How can we get on that network and avoid the drama? Well, they can't avoid the drama because there are some who look at what we say, look at what we present as a ministry of Jesus Christ and say, well, that's different than our ministry. That's not how we would present that. That's not our theological perspective on it. And so drama rises up even in the preparing and the presentation of the Armor of God telecast. Drama. It's unavoidable. It is something that is a part of our lives. One thing that Jesus Christ suggested to us, and I suggest to you, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must take up your cross and follow him. First, you must deny yourself, then take up your cross, and then follow the Savior. Jesus Christ came into the world and brought drama with him. The drama that started when he was born in a manger in Bethlehem. You know, a manger is an unsanitized trough that animals eat out of. That's drama. But Jesus is a germ killer, you see. So I suggest to you that it didn't affect him because of the drama. Furthermore, the angels were singing to the glory of God about his coming to the world. And later on, some wise guys, or wise men, excuse me, showed up to King Herod, and the drama kicked up even more. What kind of drama? Well, Herod, sitting on a throne with a scepter and a crown, were told by the wise men, "Where's the king of the Jews? We've come to worship him." I mean, is that an insult or what? to Herod because he thought he was the king of the Jews. But Jesus came to replace the illegitimate kingdom in this world and said to Pilate later on that my kingdom is not of this world. And everyone I draw to me is going to be part of something different. Friends, I hope that you'll take time to make the toll-free call to acquire the material we're offering in today's program and that you will join with Jesus Christ in the drama of his ministry. Till next time, I'm Bronson James reminding you that you should put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand in the evil day and be a part of that marvelous ministry of Jesus Christ that is filled with drama and it is not for the weak of heart. See you next time on the armor of God.
You know, the ministry of Jesus Christ was filled with a lot of drama. As Bronson pointed out, there was a lot of drama in Jesus' ministry, primarily, though, because there was controversy that surrounded Christ's ministry. Jesus, by nature of the issues that he addressed, generated controversy. That controversy oftentimes generated a lot of drama. It was in the nature of his mission. As a matter of fact, my friends, by contrast, even Jesus himself claimed that he was not one to bring peace on earth. The scriptures are plain. He claimed that he came to cause division and further illustrated the fact that not only did he come to cause division, but to cause division within families. It was in the nature of his ministry. He was a controversial character, and as a result, I say again, drama surrounded Jesus. Yes, that's right. Today he still remains a very controversial character. And as extension, and by virtue of the controversy that surrounds Jesus Christ, so his followers, Christians today, find themselves surrounded by controversy and as a result, a lot of drama. Won't you let us help you to better understand how to deal with the drama of the Christian way? Dial now 888-578-8791 and ask for the free offer that we're presenting on today's program. It's a two-disc set titled, Who is Jesus Christ? Goes into a lot of detail about who Jesus Christ is, what he came for, what his agenda was, his objectives, what he was trying to accomplish here in his first visit just short of some 2,000 years ago. Hit us on that website as well at www.cgi.org. We promise you, you'll find a lot more material there for your consideration and perusal to help in prove your walk with Christ and with God. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we often do on this program, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our